turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. Now, if I say something that you agree with or you think that's an outstanding thought, that's when you wave the red rag. Amen? Okay. Genesis chapter 5. I'm not going to tell you the name of the message, the title of the message just yet, but I want to read an obituary here in Genesis chapter 5. And I'm going to just get a few spots of it to give you the general idea. It says in verse number 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died." Obituary. And that's what it was. Now, this whole chapter is talking about the same thing, different families. Look at verse number 8. "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And then look down at verse 11, "And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died." Down in verse number 14, "All the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died." But now I want to draw your attention down to verse number 21. And it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." Now here it is. "And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him." As I thought about this, I thought about, here is all kinds of catastrophe in the sense of people dying, and then all of a sudden this man that didn't die. And I thought about that, and I started thinking, boy, you think about a graveyard today in America, spiritually speaking? Huh? We are in a graveyard in America today. I mean, I'm talking about generally over across the board, and we have a graveyard of spirituality in America. I believe we can still see revival. I keep praying for it every morning, that God will send revival to America. And so we have to understand that we're spiritually here in our country, spiritually dead, just like folks in the graveyard. Our prisons and jails are that way as well, because they want to tell the men and women that they can reform them. Well, listen, reformation doesn't work. It's transformation. And that's where you wave that hanky, amen? Transformation. It's Christ that changes a man to where he don't have to go back and do those stupid things he used to do. I did my time in prison, and I did 2.5 years. I was sentenced 2.5 to 10. I was 34 years old. I won't tell you the whole story just because of time's sake, but I'll give you the general idea. I was, as the pastor said, I had been in the Marine Corps, got out of the Marine Corps, and got involved in construction. Out in Southern California, all our kids were born in San Diego County, and that's where I got out of the Marine Corps, and so I was out there, I got in construction, and then we decided to come back to Michigan, and I got my own business going, and I became a millionaire. I was building 100 homes a year back in 1969, 70, and 71. We had a 5,000-square-foot house with an indoor swimming pool, driving a Lincoln Town Car. But we had 4 kids, 6 bedrooms, 4 baths, and all of us going to hell and not interested in spiritual things. We began to get people knocking at our door, and I threatened to hit them if they didn't get off my property. I was anti-God. I'm ashamed of it. Okay, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you that's where I was. And I believe with all my heart, church, God says, "All right, pal, I'm going to give you one more shot. I'm going to put you someplace where you got to listen." He allowed the business to collapse. We lost everything. The attorneys took all there was. We did not have one red cent. My wife had to go on welfare and food stamps, and I went to prison with a 2.5 to 10 year sentence. I was an alcoholic. I was involved in drugs and a wicked lifestyle. Well, just before I went to prison, my wife went to a little church in Clarkston, Michigan, and she got saved. She didn't tell me she got saved because I was anti. And I went to prison, and I was up in, I went through quarantine in Jackson. And then from there, I went up to Barraga. Back then, Barraga was a lumber camp. in the UP, Lumber Camp Prison, and that's where I was. Now they have a maximum security prison up in that same area, and the lumber camp is closed. But there I was in that prison, in that lumber camp, and would you know, on June 11th, Friday night, I came in off a work crew, and here's this preacher that where my wife's going to church. He's about 5'2", 100 pounds. Now, here I am, big Leroy, and I had grown a full beard. I just looked mean as could be. I found out real fast, in prison, the meaner you look, the safer you are. So I just looked mean, act mean. Didn't have any friends. No friends. This preacher comes in, and they call me to the office. He had to be shaking in his boots, staring me in the face. He said, I'm your wife's pastor, and they've given me permission to see you if you want to talk. Well, I was in Berga. It was 550 miles away from home, and I didn't have any visits, so I took the visit. We went in the cafeteria and sat down. It was 3:30 in the afternoon. He shared the gospel with me that I was a sinner going to hell, and that if I would call upon Jesus Christ to save me, that I could have eternal life. Now, I just condensed that. He took a few minutes and went through the verses. Listen, this former Marine, this big bad dude with a full beard that didn't cry for anybody, the tears began to flow as he's sharing the gospel with me, preacher. Can I tell you what? I'll bet he got a lot of strength real quick when he saw that, because he saw God breaking my heart. And after he shared the gospel, he said, would you like to be saved? I said, I think so. He said, well, just go ahead and pray. With tears in my eyes, I said, I don't know how to pray. The only thing I ever knew was, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and so forth. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll help you. He said, if you'll just bow your head, I'll pray a short prayer, and you repeat it with all your heart, and God will save your soul. We bowed our heads, and he led me in that short prayer. It's on my little brochure out on the table. Now, I didn't get it exactly word for, because I couldn't remember, but the general idea that I admitted to God that I was a sinner and deserved hell, and that I was going to turn to Jesus and nothing else. Repented of my sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Can I tell you what? In 10 minutes, he was gone, and I was saved. Hallelujah. Now, how do you know you're saved, preacher? Because I'll tell you what, all the way back to my bunk, I was on cloud nine. I was on cloud nine. I got in my bunk, and I laid there, and I'm trying to get composure now. I don't want any of the inmates to see me with tears in my eyes. And boy, I finally got it taken care of, and I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, I got overwhelmed again with what just happened. That went on all night. He got out of prison. And he got down. Now listen, this is for you young people won't understand this, but the old people in here will. He got out of prison and went to the first phone booth he could find. That's where Superman changes his clothes. And he called my wife, preacher, and he said, Kim, guess what? Leroy got saved. You know what she told him? I'll believe it when I see it. But I got saved. I got out of prison after doing 2.5 years. And we went to church for the first time as a family. All four of our kids were teenagers. God called me to preach. Listen to this. Vision Baptist Church, which is no longer in existence in Clarkston. We got there. I had four teenagers. The preacher had one teenager, and there was four or five other teenagers in the church, and there was no youth worker. And so I said to him, after a couple, 3 weeks going to, we were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. After a couple, 3 weeks, I said to him, you know, we need something to do with these kids. He says, well, do it. Now, listen to me. An ex-con just got out of prison, and you're going to put him in charge with the teens, right? But he went with us everywhere we went. He was there. He just let me do the work. And God called me to preach. went to Bible college. Brother Tom and I were in Bible college together. He was just out of the kindergarten, and I was... And then God called me out to Ortonville to start that little church. And when I was 54, after pastoring 10 years, God called me to go to the prisons the rest of my life. So we're on our 16th year now. We just started our 16th year. Going to prison and telling men about Jesus. Women about Jesus. There was death in our home. There was no positive spirituality whatsoever. But the Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 2, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead. I was in a graveyard. Are you listening to me? I was spiritually dead. And God brought me to life. Hallelujah. Enoch had glory all the way to Christ. I want to preach a message entitled, Glory in the Graveyard. Glory in the graveyard. Now, just for some of you skeptics about inmates, and thinking, well, are we wasting our time? Well, my wife will tell you you're not. She's got a new husband, amen? We just celebrated 49 years this last June. All our kids are in church. And that's a miracle. Most inmates, their families, some of them follow after their footsteps. But our kids, my kids go to prison with me now, but they go to prison and testify what God's done in their family. Amen. Listen to this little story. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor. But it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood that kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. And next to him, my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine and looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How do all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, he said. They're all in shock. They didn't think they'd be seeing you. When I was in the Marine Corps out in California, we had gotten back from overseas, and I had a buddy that was a drinking buddy, and we were both married men, so we did things together. One Monday night, they came over to our house. They were all excited. They had gotten saved Sunday. They wanted their best friend to get what they got. My wife and I both snubbed at them and told them, forget it, get out of here. Never saw them again. I can just see it, preacher. Brother Leroy, what are you doing here? Woo! And there's some old friends of yours that are going to say the same thing about you, amen? Glory in the graveyard. Well, I got to hurry now. It's already 7 o'clock. Glory in the graveyard. As I thought about this, I thought, number one, in verse 21 and 22, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years. So he had a living glory. And I thought about you and I. You and I need to have a living glory. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing or glory, if you will, in himself alone and not in another. We need to have a living glory. I'm talking about we ought to be, if we're saved, we ought to be shouting about it around the country. We ought to, everywhere we go, people ought to be able to see we've got Christ in our life. Amen. We ought to have a living glory. The Bible tells us over there, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm simply saying to you tonight that we can have glory in the graveyard. Even though America's into the trouble it is in spiritually, if God's people will get on the right track, we can bring revival back to America. Amen. Glory in the graveyard. He had a living glory. But I noticed something else he had. I'm talking about Enoch. He had a pleasing glory. If we were to turn there, and we won't, I'll just read the scripture to you. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Oh, we ought to have a pleasing glory in our lifestyle. What we're doing ought to please the whole Heavenly Father in all that we do. I got to thinking about that. You know, God, hey. God is pleased when we live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, preacher. God, hey, can I tell you what? Is the economy been a little rough lately? Got to trust the Lord. You know what some people are doing? They're stopped tithing to church because it's easier to do that than trust God. Can I have an amen right there? Somebody wave a hanky or something. I mentioned money and... I'm simply saying, we can have glory in the graveyard. And God wants you and I to trust Him by faith. Now, we can't go out and squander what we have and then expect God to fill His shoe. But if we use wisdom, God loves to see us live by faith. Can I tell you what? We have learned that principle in our lives, my wife and I, because God has showed us that He is in control. Amen? And He will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. Glory in the graveyard. He had a pleasing glory. God is pleased when we live by faith. God is pleased when we handle trials properly. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. God is pleased. Let me tell you a story. I'm not, sure you're not trying to brag on me. But I got transferred back up, back down from Berga to Camp Pontiac. It's no longer in existence. It's been destroyed, closed up, and all that. But it's right in Clarkston. It was in Clarkston. And because I was from that area, all the officers in there, the guards, they all knew who I was and my reputation, and it was not a good reputation. So they didn't know I got saved. Well, I was a new Christian. I didn't know about witnessing. I didn't know about the Spirit of God speaking to you and nudging you to do this or that. I didn't know any of that stuff. I was a new Christian. But one day, the warden came around where I was, and I had a nudge to witness to him, and I didn't know what it was, but I said, "Warden, can I?" Now, this is level one security, so it was the warden was walking around amongst inmates. That just doesn't happen in higher grades of prisons. He said, "What do you want, Demoselis?" I said, "Well, can we talk privately for just a minute?" So we went in to his office, and I shared my testimony with him about how I got saved up there. Now, I didn't have all the words. I didn't know how to explain it all. But when I was all done, I said, "Has that ever happened to you?" I found out that's called drawing the net. I didn't know that. I just knew that God had done something for me, and I had a desire. Hey, can I tell you what? Did you think? You think that pleased God? You think that pleased? Wave them hankies right now. Here's an ex, or not an ex-con, he's still a con. He's in prison, and he's telling the warden about Jesus. I didn't know what I was doing. I just had a nudge from the Lord to do it.
Amen.
Oh, can I tell you what? God is pleased when the trials come. Well, just 2 weeks after that, I was set up by one of the guards. All guards aren't bad, okay? I met some very good, honorable men and women that are in the facilities as officers. But I tell you, over 50% of them are wicked. They belong in there themselves as inmates. I mean, tell you, it's bad. It was a Friday night, about 2 weeks after I talked to the warden. This one, he was a homosexual guard. He was furious with my witness. I had my Bible out exposed all the time. And I was tearing up Playboy magazines whenever they left them laying around in the yard. I mean, I was trying to do all I could, and I didn't have any teaching to help me. I was just doing what I thought was right. He hated it. I didn't know that, but I found out. Well, it was about 10 for lights out. They had a shakedown of all the inmates looking for something. Couldn't find it. Came back up to the office. Then he said, over the PA system, Demoselis report to the office. When I got up there, he had two witnesses, two guards, and my Bible, and he opened it up in front of those guards. And there was a picture of one of the inmates' wives in her bra and panties. It had come in the mail, I found out later. It had come in the mail to that inmate, and they confiscated it as contraband. They wouldn't let him have it, and they put it in the safe. And now it's in my Bible. I was sentenced 2.5 to 10. That means that if I do stupid things in prison, other than breaking laws, I don't have to go back before the judge and they can add some to my minimum, make it 3.5 to 10, 4.5 to 10. They can keep me all the way to 10 years if I'm a troublemaker in prison without ever going back to the judge. Can I tell you what? I was scared to death that night. It was a Friday night. I prayed all weekend, Lord, help me. Monday morning, the warden came in. As soon as I saw him, I said, hey, warden, I got to talk to you. He said, Demas Ellis, I already know all about it. I'll take care of it. And nothing ever happened. Are you listening to me? You know what? I was in a level one security prison. I could have run that night. I could have left the prison and run. But I stayed there trusting the Lord. I was a young Christian. I didn't understand all the magnitude of it until now as I matured in the Lord a little bit and see what God allowed me to do. And can I tell you what? That pleased God. Can I tell you, church, today, we're in a troubled time in America. We got a graveyard of spirituality. The finances are weak. But I want to tell you what, tonight, there's glory in the graveyard. Trust him. So we need to trust him by faith. We need to trust him when trials come. And thirdly, we need to trust him when we witness and pass out tracts. Everyone in this room, if you're a born-again Christian, you ought to carry gospel tracts with you. Now, I personally think you ought to carry it with your church name on it. Because if somebody gets saved in my community, I want them to come to my church. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Want them to come to a good church. One place they're going to hear the truth, the preaching. Most churches out there are playing silly games, tickling the ear, not ever talking about sin. Can I tell you what? We need to hear about sin. We need to know what sin is. That's what transforms us, when we know the truth of the book. So we ought to witness. We ought to carry tracts. We ought to look for opportunities. Can I tell you, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching 32 years now. But even me, sometimes I let my flesh in. So I'm not saying that you're preaching, I got it all together, and you guys don't have nothing. We are just as human as you are. I was coming out of prison. I'm talking about witnessing. Pleasing God. I was coming out of prison and I had to get fuel, so I pulled into a speedway. And as I'm pumping my fuel, there's a Harley right in the front door of a speedway. I mean, sitting right there. And there's a biker, he's about 6'6". And he had a ponytail about that long. He had leathers on. He had a full beard. And he looked mean. He just looked like he was so ungodly. And as I'm pumping gas, the Holy Spirit said, give him a track. I just got out of prison, just had several men saved. And I said, Lord, he don't want no track. So I walked by him and went in and paid my bill. Figured he'll be gone when I come out. Yeah. Came out and he was still there. Walked by him and the Holy Spirit nudged me again. I said, Lord, I ain't doing it. And I got in my car, pulled it down into drive, and began to take the turn to get out. And I'm telling you what, I had an overwhelming thrust from the Spirit of God that I need to give that man a track. I shoved that baby in park. Now listen, I was dressed like this. I shoved that baby in park, jumped out of my car, and I said, sir, God told me to give you this gospel track. I'm an ex-con. I was saved in prison, and this will tell you how to be saved. Would you read that? He said, well, I sure would. Well, I sure would. This big old bear was a teddy bear. Like most of us, amen. So, I struggle with it too. But we still, that doesn't give us any excuse. We still got to try. Don't, hey, if the devil defeated you last week, get back up and go this week, because there's glory in the graveyard. Amen. And it pleases God when we witness. You all preached me to death. This is not the same biker, but it's another story. I was up in Wolverine, Michigan. Anybody know where that's at? It's way up there. It's just before the bridge. Brother Oz Theaker is the pastor of Wolverine Baptist Church. He had invited me to come up and preach for him on Sunday. And so we spent the night with them on Monday morning. He said, would you go make a couple visits with me? And I said, sure. So we got in his car and we come. Wolverine isn't any bigger than this room. I mean, there's a bar and a party store and that's it. And then a bunch of houses, of course. And his church. He's the only church in town. So we come down from the church down into town at the stop sign. And as we're sitting there waiting to make the turn, across over on my right, I see a biker. His Harley's in the driveway, and he's on the front porch. I said to the preacher, what's the deal with him? He said, that guy is trouble. He comes here every summer and peddles drugs out of that house right there. He's gone for the winter, and he's back the next summer. The cops have been here and tried to catch him. They can't catch him red-handed, but every year it's the same stuff. I said, pull in the driveway. He said, are you crazy? I said, go ahead, pull in the driveway. Well, we pulled in the driveway. We jumped out. We're both in suits and ties. And the guy looked at me. He thought it was the FBI. And before he got real cantankerous, I said, sir, I'm an ex-con. I said, this is the old thing on my life story, how I got saved in prison, and God wanted me to share this with you. Listen to this. He walks in the front door, and he goes, he didn't say, come on in, have a seat. Just. So I looked over at the preacher. We walked in. The living room, dining room was one room, and I'm telling you, the table was as long as this pew here. It reminded me of the Lord's Supper table that you see in pictures. That's how big it was. And there was chairs all around it, and he sat at the very end like the top dog. So I sat down next to him, and Brother Theaker sat next to me. His wife was not any further away than that, in the kitchen cooking something. So he starts talking. We got little ones in here, so I'm going to be careful. But his filthy language was worse than I've ever heard. Filthy. If his wife listens to all those words, four-letter words. We're sitting there, two preachers. And he's railing on. I mean, he's not railing on us. He's just talking with all his filthy language. And she can hear all this. No respect at all for his wife. When he was all done, I forget his name now, but I said, let me share with you what God's done in my life now. And I shared the gospel with him. And here's what he said. I said, sir, would you like to trust the Lord? Here's what he said. Hey, woman. You want some of this? This dude was crude. He was a crude dude. Hey, woman, you want some of this? She heard the whole thing. She says, no, I'm satisfied where I'm at. He says, give it to me. So we bowed our heads. And he repeated the sinner's prayer. Hugged me when I left. This is about 6 years ago. He's never been back. Amen. Never been back to that town. I'll probably see him in heaven someday. Well, no, probably about it. I will. But God, I think God did a work in his heart. When you get the real thing, buddy, I'll tell you what, it changes you. Amen. Can I tell you what? I believe God was pleased. Hey, church. Carry tracks. Look for opportunities. You know what America needs? We need a group of people like you in this place to go out and let other people see Christ in you. Be a witness. Pass out tracks. Invite people. Look for opportunities. Put tracks everywhere. Amen. When you go to the restaurant, I always leave one for the waitress, but you dirty low down hound, make sure you leave a tip worth giving the track. Amen?
Amen.
Don't give her a 50-cent tip on a $20 check and expect her to read your lousy track. Amen. Be honorable. But look for opportunities. Put them in the men's room. Put them in the ladies' room. Hey, I had a lady write me. She said, my son's down in Greenville Correction Facility in Indiana, and he needs some of your life story tracks, so I sent him some. He wrote me back. He said, preacher, I need some more of your life story tracks. And in the letter, he said this. I'm in school. He says, every morning I walk past two men's rooms in the prison there on my way to the school. It's just a room in the prison where they have school. And he said, there's three toilets in each one of them. So I put a track by each toilet. He said, I figure they can get saved on the toilet just as well as anywhere. That's an inmate in prison. Oh, hey, I'm talking about glory in the graveyard tonight. I'm saying to you, sure, America's in trouble, but you and I that are born again, washed in the blood, we can have glory in this graveyard. Hallelujah. He had a living glory. He had a pleasing glory. And I'll hurry. He had a fellowshipping glory. The Bible says he literally walked with God. You and I have that same opportunity today in our prayer life, in our Bible reading. We can walk with God. As we drive down the road, thinking of him. Yes, he had a fellowship in glory. But he also had a departing glory. Listen to what it says. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He had a departing glory. Can I tell you what, church? It won't be long, I don't think. And if you're saved, we're all going to experience that departing glory with the rapture. Come up hither. He had a departing glory. You know what? What really intrigued me about this story is I read all the obituaries to you, and he died, and he died, and he died. If God had just taken his life and left the body there, you know what they'd have written? And he died. That's why God took his body. So you'd know what happened. It wasn't he died. He went on to glory alive. Hallelujah. We're going to have a glorious departing. Amen. There's going to be glory in the graveyard. Oh, hallelujah. And he's got eternal glory. His name's written in the Word of God forever. But his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm talking about 100% sure you know you're going to heaven. Not a hope so, but know so. You can have that forever glory by having your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life by getting saved. I was witnessing to a fellow by the name of Dwayne in the prison. And he said, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I said, tell me about it. He said, well, I was raised in a Christian home. He said, from the time I was old enough, we started going to church. I started going to church with my family. They had been going to church. He said, when I was 5 years old in the Sunday school class. Now, teachers, Sunday school teachers, listen to this. The teacher in that class came out that morning after Sunday school and told all the parents that came to pick their kids up that everybody in her class got saved that day. So Dwayne, every time he questioned his salvation by the Spirit of God, his mother said, you're all right. Don't worry about it. You're all right, son. Your Sunday school teacher said you got saved. He couldn't remember a thing about it. Never could remember anything about it. Now he's 28 years old and he's in the prison. You know what I told him? If you're banking on heaven and what mama says, you're banking on the wrong thing. You need to know it yourself. And can I tell you, if you're in this room right now and you're not truly saved, the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart right now. It's your choice, though, whether you want to do something about it. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And if you're not saved, I invite you to come and let me help you get it settled. He has an eternal glory. And I have an eternal glory because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, it's been wonderful. I want to close with this story. I'm cutting it off. About 5 years ago, I was down in Vidalia, Georgia. That's where they grow those big onions. And we were in prison revival in the evening, but during the daytime, we had free. So I had a partner, and we went out and just drove around town looking for opportunities to witness. And we'd witness here and witness there, and we'd pass out track. We led a couple of people to the Lord during that week. But this one particular day, we came up over this hill, and as we came down, there was a graveyard with 10 orange jumpsuit guys trimming with weed whackers. And a brown 15-passenger van said, whatever, county jail on it. So I knew right away they were inmates. So I told my buddy, I said, pull down there. Let's see if the guard will let us talk to them guys. So we pulled down, and I walked up and told him who I was. He said, you want to what? I said, I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to preach to them. He said, I ain't never had anybody ask me to do that in the graveyard. He says, I'll tell you what, though. I'll talk about it tonight when I get back with the boss. And you be here at 8:30 in the morning. If I got permission, you got permission. See you in the morning, I said. 8:30 in the morning, we came back. There he was. I walked up to him. He said, all right, you guys, get out. This guy's got something to say. Stand at attention. So I preached to him. Gave an invitation. Gave an invitation to be saved in the graveyard. One man came forward for a rededication. Another man came forward and knelt at a tombstone and called upon the Lord to forgive his soul, to forgive his sin, and save his soul. Can I tell you what? There was glory in the graveyard that day. Hallelujah. Glory in the graveyard. Yes, America's in trouble. Yes, spiritually speaking, we have bad situation, but I want to tell you what, as children of God, we can have glory. And our glory is what they need to see, those that are lost. Let's all stand with our head bowed and eyes closed.